Please take your songbooks now. Stand with me and turn to hymn number 321, Sound the Battle Cry. Join me on the first verse, hymn 321.
Sound the battle cry, see the forest I raise.
The second verse,
strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. Roused and soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
On the last now, oh, thou God of all,
hear us when we call, help us run in all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, we live when the crown before thy face. Roused and soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
That sure is good singing tonight. There's no place to be anywhere on Sunday night except church, and I'm glad that you're here. We're going to have a wonderful night. It's good to see you in church. It's good to have guests and visitors with us. It's good to have family that's home for this weekend and for today. We're glad that you're here. Take your hymn books and turn to number 272. We've had a wonderful day today, and I rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate the choir singing that opener, He's the Lord of Glory. In 1967, Dr. B.R. Lakin began a radio program called The Voice of the Appalachians Radio Broadcast. How many of you ever heard Lakin preach on recording or in person? I heard him in person just a couple of times, and B.R. Lakin began that radio program from the Cadle Tabernacle in Indianapolis, Indiana. In those days, the AM radio stations would cover a large part of the nation, and then the FCC started limiting their power and wattage and their range, and he carried that program until about 1980, I believe, something like that, 79 or 80, and Lewis Arnold became the speaker on The Voice until 1995. 1995, he asked me to take the radio broadcast, and we have been on radio and a good number of stations. I don't know how many. Sometimes we're on the we're on stations that have 25 or 30 different ones. We hear from folks all over the country, but we've been on since 1995. That song that they sang is a theme song for that. He's the Lord of Glory. I appreciate that and always enjoy hearing that. This would be the 26th year that we've been on the radio with that program, and so that was good. Well, are you glad you're on the winning side tonight? I am. Lift your voice and sing with me, number 272.
Yes, I'm on the winning side, out of sin.
verse number 2 now. From the straight and narrow way, I was drifting every day out upon the waters. On my brow, and my soul is on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in Singapore, will I abide? I'm enlisted in the fight for the cause. Singing. We got to sing the last verse, and you're singing well. When we get to the chorus, we'll sing that without the instruments, all right? We'll sing that without the instruments on the chorus on the last verse. Let's sing it together on the last now. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and He lives so often I good. I like it. That's church, isn't it? I like it. Let me give you a couple of prayer requests. Dr. Jorgensen, if you'll lead us in prayer for the service tonight. James Willis has been very sick the last few weeks. He's in critical condition tonight. Please pray for him. Wanda Smith, this is a lady that works for Brother Ken Watts, and she is seriously ill tonight, and remember her in prayer. It's good to see Brother Charles Isaacs here. He's been sick the last couple of weeks. It's his son, Connor, that we've been praying for, and I got a couple of pictures. In fact, Connor has been sending me messages. He is, of course, he was at the Kabul airport during all of that fiasco, and then he said, I'm out and safe. I asked where he was. He said, Kuwait. That don't sound safe to me, but it's better than where he was, and he'll be home in another week or so, but thank you for praying for him. And I baptized Connor when he was 7 years old, and I've been praying for him and thinking about him a lot, and I'm thankful for our soldiers, those that serve our nation, and I appreciate them. I appreciate them an awful lot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the service tonight.
Hey, Father, thank you for the fact that we're here. We are safe. We are enjoying freedom and plenty. Pray that you'd help us to appreciate it, to use the freedom to preach and propagate the gospel. Pray that you'd bless the service tonight. Be with Brother Fugit. Give him power as he preaches. And pray for several that were mentioned as being ill, and pray that you'd help and heal, give strength. Thank you for Connor being out of Afghanistan safely, along with many others. Pray for some that were left behind and Christians there. Give them courage and relief and safety. It'd be our desire. Pray again that you'd bless the service tonight here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Surely you must fight, keep on the firing line. must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Praise will be rewarded for your service here.
So keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. I will praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. If you would win for God and
please take your songbooks again, stand with me, and turn them to hymn number 330, The Fight Is On. We'll begin on that first verse and have the choir come down. 330.
The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face is stern array. With armor gleaming and colors streaming, fighting wrong and face to face. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His final test. If God before us is better for us, we'll sing the victory song at last.
Welcome those around you this evening now while the choir comes down. Join me now, hymn number 3. 333 on the last verse.
The Lord is leading on to certain victory. The boat of promise spans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honor me. The morn will break, the dawn of peace is done. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victory song at last.
Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful singing. It's good to have visitors with us tonight. And our visitors, it's good to have Brother and Sister Dennis Moravik, and they are from the Cornerstone Baptist Temple. Brother Siler is their pastor in Dayton, Ohio. Their daughter Natalie is with them, and they're here to look at the college, and we welcome you to our church, and appreciate you coming to look at Commonwealth. Let me introduce you to five students from Commonwealth tonight. If you're one of the five, listen for your name. First of all, Michelle Almeida, if you'll stand, please. Right here she is, and she is a secondary education major at Commonwealth. She is from North Carolina, the Bailey's Grove Baptist Church in Asheboro, and her pastor is John Shook. We're glad that you're here. Luke Estep, he is a freshman. Luke, if you'll stand right here, and he is in pastoral theology major. He's from Cisco, Illinois. He attends the First Baptist Church in Monticello, and Pastor Mitch Estep is his pastor. We're glad you're here. Macy Cata. Macy is right over here, and she is a freshman, and her major is secondary education. She is from St. Charles, Minnesota. She attends a Midwest Baptist Church in Rochester, Minnesota, and her pastor is Caleb Hansen. We're glad she's here. Jimmy Cruz, will you stand, please? Jimmy is right back there, and Jimmy is a freshman. His major is pastoral assistant, and he is from Columbus, Ohio. He attends a Bible Baptist Church in Grove, Ohio. Pastor Stan Slayball is his pastor. And then Susanna Johnson. Yeah, one of our own, right? Here she is. Susanna's a freshman, secondary education major. And, of course, she has been and grown up here, a member of our church. Would you give a round of applause and say thank you for being a part of our college to these? I'm glad our students are here. I really enjoyed the chapel time and my class time with them this week, and I appreciate their desire to serve the Lord. Church, I encourage you to interact with them, encourage them, speak to them. I encourage the college students to get to know church folk, and we're thankful for what the Lord is doing at Commonwealth Baptist College. And the buses today, we had 32 visitors, 15 saved, and one that followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That was a good day today, and I appreciate the work of our bus captains and bus workers and drivers. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive our offering, and as they get in place, I'll finish the announcements. If you weren't here this morning, take a look at that board right there. We're at $240,500. We're only $9,500 away from finishing phase two, which is the underground utilities and the slab. That will take care of everything out there until we get the steel in, and that's scheduled to come in January. And so once we get the plumbing and the concrete slab, it'll all be cleaned up and ready for the concrete to come in. Thank you for being faithful in giving, and I pray that we'll get there to 250 real soon. We'll put that banner down here beside that one and put that one down here and get ready to put up our banners for the conference. I'm going to save other announcements until after the service because folks are forgetting to sign up, and I'm gonna do that tonight, all right? I've got to have your help tonight. We got to get signed up to get things ready for the Church Growth Conference, September 22-23. A lot of things to care for. I'll make those announcements at the end. Brother Caleb, if you'll come and ask the Lord's blessings on our giving tonight, please.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the great day you've given us so far, Lord. The many blessings, and a good report from the bus routes, Lord, people saved. What a blessing it is to come to a church, Lord, that cares for souls. Lord, I pray that you help us now reach this new goal. We've almost got it. I pray that you help us to finish it out, Lord, so we can further the gospel with this new building. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, we'll have our scripture reading, so please take your Bibles and stand with me, turning them to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2 this evening, Revelation chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 18 through 25. I'll read these verses out loud for you as you follow there in your Bibles, Revelation chapter 2. And we begin now with verse number 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time now that we come to the preaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, for using our preacher this morning and for the message that was brought forth. And now, Lord, the final message of today, Lord, use him, I pray. Guide him and direct him in his thoughts. And Lord, help our thoughts and Father not to wander, but to be focused upon the truth that will be proclaimed. Thank you for your goodness. And we ask, Father, please, that you'd help us to have a tender heart, willing and ready to receive that which you have prepared for us.
and that, Lord, it will result in obedience and, Father, your glory as a result. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from
What a wonderful song. I like that song, and well done. I appreciate the accompaniment and the singing. Thank God for the cross.
Amen.
And I appreciate that good song. Verse 25 is my text verse in that passage of Scripture, and I want you to see it again. The Bible says in verse 25, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." I want to preach on the subject, holding fast. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word tonight. I desire to be a blessing, and I desire to give instruction I believe is needed in our day. And may you be pleased, may you be glorified in the truth of the message tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. At least six times in the New Testament we find the instruction, hold fast. It is an important instruction. It was in the day it was given. It is in the day in which you and I are living. Before I give the context of this verse, let me define the truth and what it means to hold fast. There are two things that I want to emphasize in defining the words hold fast. The word hold fast, or the words hold fast, does not just mean to hold on to something. It means to hold it or grip it tightly. And there's a reason for that. It means, second of all, there is a force of some kind desiring to take it away. And so the instruction, hold fast. For example, you may say to someone going outside on a windy day, better hold on to your hat. And you do so because there's a force, there's a wind that would take it away. And so you say you better hold fast. If you ride in a car with certain people, you may give instruction, hold fast. Now, I didn't say any names. It was the Holy Ghost of God that brought that conviction to that one in your family that I'm talking about tonight. Hold fast. You don't say to somebody, now hold on to your shoes. Hold on to your socks. They're not going to come off unless you ride with that person I was talking about. And but you say hold fast, or you might give someone money. You might give someone something that has a high value or that is rare, and you say you better hold on to that. When I was a boy, and I would say this would have been in the mid-late 70s, my grandfather, my dad's dad, would give me on Monday morning 5 quarters. And he would get to give that to me. It was a quarter a day. And you could buy a Pepsi and a pack of peanuts for a quarter. And you'd take about a drink of about an ounce out of a glass bottle. You pour the peanuts right in the glass bottle. And you eat them and drink them like that. How many of you are with me tonight? You know what I'm talking about, the rest of you. You need to try it before you're critical of it. And but anyway, a quarter would buy a pack of Nabs, peanut butter crackers, and anything peanut butter, and a Pepsi Cola or a RC and a Moon Pine. So he would give that to me, and oftentimes he'd put it in my hand. Have you ever put something in someone's hand and then you and you close their hand? You said, now you hold on to that. You hold tight. I've seen folks put their children off to school and put money or their lunch in their hand. Of course, most boys learn early to hold fast to their lunch because of other fellows in class that would eat it. And but you put that in their hand and you tell them to hold fast. Let me give you an illustration. JC, I want you to come up here just a moment. I'm going to give you something tonight. I'm going to stand over here so everybody can see. I'm going to give him a challenge coin. JC is my oldest grandson, and I'm going to give him a challenge coin. All of the staff have one. Stand right over here. All the staff have one. There are a few preachers. I believe I have 500 of these. There are a few preachers across the country that have these. I don't know anybody else that does. Just staff, just a few folks. I'm going to give that to you tonight. I want to tell you now, hold fast. It won't work in a bubblegum machine. In fact, it won't work anywhere. But it's special. It means you're committed to attend Commonwealth Baptist College if you receive it. You got it? Is that a good deal? Now, I want you to hold on to that, all right? That's yours from me. I want you to put it in place to keep it at home, all right? It's yours. I love you.
Love you too.
All right. Now, you can go back to sleep. And anyway, he wasn't asleep. He was misbehaving. No, he wasn't. He wasn't either. Now, when you give someone something special, something that others might want, something that there is a force desiring to take it away, you would say, I just don't want you to have it. I want you to hold fast what I'm giving you. Now, let me give you the context of Revelation chapter 2 and verses 18 through 25. This is a message given to the church of Thyatira. There are 7 churches in Asia Minor, and Thyatira is one of those 7 churches. The longest message was sent to the church in the smallest city. Thyatira was a military town. It was also a commercial center. It was a place where trade was going on in and out of the city. It was a military city. However, this city was somewhat corrupt for 2 reasons. There was idolatry and there was immorality in that city. Some of that was because of the military base that was there in Thyatira. Now, 2 of the enemies of the church is idolatry, worshiping something in the place of God, and immorality. It is sad, by the way, that anybody would work to take advantage of military soldiers like our government has in the state here, putting a casino just outside of the base at Fort Campbell in western Kentucky. I'm not sure if you know that has been built in the last few years. It was illegal, and you say, Preacher, you said this last Sunday night. I know, and I think I forgot it two Sunday nights ago, but I know I said it last week and the 10 Sunday nights before. As you know, I'm against expanded gambling. I was against the gambling we had before they expanded it. I'll get back to the sermon in just a moment. I won't lose my place. And they built that casino conveniently right outside of the military base. And it was there to take advantage of young soldiers. What a sad thing. The same was true in Thyatira. And it increased the problem of idolatry and immorality. There was actually a temple that was built there, and it was for the sun god Apollo. Now, one of the Greek gods, Apollo, basically was a god that represented everything. Whatever you wanted Apollo to be, that's what Apollo was. And whatever you desired to do. That's why folks turn from God to a false god, because a false god says, what do you want? And God says, I'll tell you what will make you happy. You do what I say. And some folks don't like that, and so they find a god like Apollo. And so there in Thyatira, there was a temple there, and it was built to the sun god Apollo. And it explains why the Lord introduced himself early on in this instruction as the Son of God. That's the only time in Revelation the title Son of God is given. And John delivered a message of severe warning and judgment to this congregation. And the context is divided into three parts. First of all, there were some things this church did well. We see that in verse number 19. Their works are characterized by faith and love and patience, and they cared about the needs of others, and that is a good thing. Second of all, in verses 20 through 23, there were some things that were wrong that John exposed and explained and gave them an opportunity to repent of and to change. First of all, I want to say no amount of sacrificial work could compensate for the tolerance of evil, and that very thing happens today. Folks think they can justify bad behavior with extra good behavior. Nothing gives us a right to do wrong against a God. But that's what they were doing, and they were permitting a false prophetess to influence the people and bring compromise. I'll tell you what it was in just a moment. Now, this woman here, her name was not Jezebel, but she was characterized by that Old Testament woman, Jezebel, and so that's why the name is given here, because of her adulterous behavior. What we know about Jezebel is that she was always immodest, and she was immoral and not satisfied with that until she had others committing the immorality as she was. She was so wicked. You remember the story when Jehu came riding into town, and she was there in the window, and they threw her down from the window, and she fell on the ground, and the Bible said that the dogs ate her, just as the prophet said that they would, all but her skull, her head, her wicked hands, and her wicked feet. Now, that's what God thought about Jezebel, and that doesn't leave any room for wonder. We know exactly what God thought and the judgment that came upon her. So that characterization of that woman from the Old Testament is given now in the New Testament in this church. And the seductive teaching of this prophetess was similar to the doctrine of Balaam that the Lord had condemned the church in Pergamos for. Now, here's what she did. She taught believers those that had been born again, she taught them how to compromise with the Roman religion and with the Apollo god and the practices of the various groups. They would form groups and they would say, we'll do business with you if you agree with our behavior and we agree with your behavior. And so if you didn't agree with their behavior, which included immodesty, immorality, and wickedness of all kinds, and that's a part of all of that Greek mythology, if you didn't agree with them, they wouldn't let you in and you couldn't do business with them. Well, there were Christians that were suffering because they trusted Christ as Savior, and they didn't take part in those practices again. Well, there's a woman here. She is called or characterized by the Old Testament person Jezebel, and she taught them, here's what you need to do to be accepted by these groups so you don't cause problems for yourself. That's what God is upset about, and that's what he's writing them about. It's interesting to contrast this church of Thyatira with the church at Ephesus. The Ephesus church was weakening in its love, yet they were faithful to judge the false teachers. While the people in the assembly at Thyatira, they were growing in their love, but they're tolerant of false doctrine. God said, both of you are wrong. By the way, what a desire to be right. And I'm not right, but God's right. I want to do what God says to do. And he writes to the church here and he tells them that this should be avoided. And not only was the church here tolerant of evil, but it was proud. And when given the opportunity to repent, it refused to repent. So he says, Jezebel and your children or your followers are going to be sentenced to tribulation and death. Idolatry and compromise are in the Bible. Idolatry and compromise of doctrine. Idolatry and compromise of doctrine are pictured in the Bible as fornication. That's how they're pictured. God doesn't look favorably on changing the plan of salvation. And idolatry and compromise are in the Bible as fornication and unfaithfulness to marriage vows. Jezebel's bed of sin would become a bed of sickness, and God would judge this false prophetess and her followers once and for all. There's a third part of the context. Not everyone in the church had taken part in the compromise. There was a remnant of righteous people. And in the verses of 24 through 29, he addresses that crowd and he has a special word for them. Thank God for those that are willing to get a hold of truth, and truth satisfies them. They're not wanting to find anything else. They're not looking for anything else, but their faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. We trust the ever-living one, and his wounds for us doth plead, and we're glad to have found the truth of the Word of God. Now, they had separated themselves from the false doctrine. They had separated themselves from the compromising practices of Jezebel and her followers. And he says to them, what you've been given, the truth that you have, hold fast. You get a hold of it and you hold on. And don't you turn loose, don't you trade it, don't you exchange it for anything. You have the truth, be satisfied with the truth. I want to say this evening, in a day of compromise, in a day of spiritual complacency, in a day when nearly everything goes, not just outside the church, but even inside the church, we must hold fast to the truth and our resistance to evil. I want to say tonight, we ought to hold fast. We ought to hang on extra tight against the forces that are trying to take truth from us. I say tonight, we ought to hold fast to this old King James Bible. Amen. I want to tell you something, dear friend. That old book right there is a special book. It's a wonderful book. That book was paid for with the price of the martyr's blood. And I want to tell you, I don't want a book where it's changed, where it's watered down. Look, you say, well, I can't understand it. Well, improve your education. Don't make a comic book out of the Bible. Change yourself. I'm not looking for a book to change. I'm looking for a book that changes me. It was this book right here that told me I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And were it not for the truth of the Word of God, I would have gone to hell believing in religion and false hope. But thank God for the hope that's given to me in this old King James Bible. I've had folks tell me, well, I can't understand that Bible. I've had many conversations on airplanes, and they find out I'm a preacher, and they'll ask questions about the Bible, and which one do you use? And I said, I use the original one. I use the King James 1611. And they'll say, well, I can't understand it. I said, well, did you go to school? Oh, they said, yes, I'll have you to know I hold in this degree and that. Some of them have more degrees than a thermometer. And I said, well, that's strange. My grandmother had a second grade education. She understood it pretty good. Well, I don't understand thee and thou. Tell me what part of thee and thou you don't understand. I can define it for you. Thee means you. Thou means you. Must, that means you have to. What about those good words like reckon? I understand that one. Hey, I want to tell you something. Hold on to your King James Bible. I've heard folks say I don't understand it. I've asked them, how many times have you read it through? Most of them have just read the cover. They haven't read it through. Hold on to your King James Bible. I want to say tonight, hold on to salvation by grace through faith. That's what Jesus said will save your soul. Hold fast. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. We need to hold fast to the plan of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hold fast to the old time religion of salvation by grace through faith. I believe in baptism. I believe every person that gets born again by grace through faith ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I believe in church membership. I believe every person that gets saved by grace through faith and follows the Lord in believer's baptism ought to be a member of the church. I believe that. But oh, dear friend, that's not added to salvation. That's after I've been born again. I'm going to hold fast to separation from worldliness. Old Dr. Lakin used to say, the world is getting so churchy and the church is getting so worldly, I can't tell the difference in the two. I was talking to a fella in another town in our state the other day. He said, Brother Fugit, what is it with churches that have changed to a nightclub? He said, I used to be unsaved. I used to go to the nightclubs on Friday night and Saturday night. I used to sleep in on Saturday. But he said, I got saved. I gave up the nightclub on Friday night and Saturday night. I started staying home. I started going to bed at night, going to church on Sunday morning. Why is it that the churches have changed from singing the old hymns of the faith? Why have they taken the lights out of the building? Why have they tried to make it look like what I got saved out of? I want to tell you, dear friend, I'm going to hold on to the old time religion and separation from worldliness. I'm going to hold on to the blood atonement. I'm going to hold fast to old time soul winning. You know what soul winning is? You just ask someone if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You say that's sort of personal, isn't it? Sure is. Hold fast to soul winning. Hold fast to your convictions. Don't let your children change your convictions. Don't let your grandchildren change your convictions. They may be different than yours, but if they have a right to believe what they want to believe, Dad has a right to believe what he wants, and Grandpa has a right to the convictions that he believes, I'm going to hold to the old-time convictions, which are typically one step away from the sin, and I'm convicted to stay away from the sin as far as I can. I'm going to hold on to them. In fact, I'm going to keep living those. I'm going to teach those to my children and to my grandchildren. I'm not going to allow peer pressure to change who we are. I'm going to hold fast to those things. We're going to hold fast to old-time conservative music. Amen. You're not going to come here and wonder if that's a song you used to sing before you got saved. You're going to know. And and not only is the message, but the music ought to be uplifting spiritually. It ought to strengthen us spiritually. This ain't a honky-tonk. This ain't a nightclub. This is God's house. We're not here to entertain the flesh. We're here to glorify God, our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our coming King. Hold fast to conserve the music. Here's what he said to this crowd. Now you know what's right. And there are those among you. There are those within your church. They have changed. They have compromised. But some of you have not. He said, I want you to hold fast. Hold fast to what you've been given. Now, I don't have time to preach all of these, but I just want to mention them. There's an admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Here's what it says. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, prove means see what's true. What's not true, throw it away. What is good, hold on to it. Now, why would he say hold fast to that which is good? Because there are those that want to take it away. I don't want to take it away. I don't want the winds of compromise to blow the good out of my hand. I don't want the compromise of the church to take the good out of my hand. I want to prove what is good. I want to throw away the bad. And I want to hold fast to the things that are true. Listen to me. Truth desires to be proven. It desires to be exercised in our lives. If you want to make someone mad, question their statement that is dishonest. You won't bother God by proving what God has said, because everything that you prove of truth is true. For example, he tells us in Malachi 3, verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts. What does he mean, prove me? He said, do what I say and prove me if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. We ought to prove the word of God. We ought to put it into practice. By the way, you ought to prove things. I read a story. I believe it was Friday morning. And the story said the Hazard Appalachian Regional Hospital, the morgue is full, and because it is full and there's not room for the bodies of folks that have died, they've called Mr. Bowling at the Maggard Funeral Home, I know the folks, and asked if they could use their morgue to help store the bodies. And the story went on to say that the morgue at the funeral home would hold 20 to 25 bodies. And I thought, wow, that's terrible. I mean, and the story was everywhere. How many of you saw the story? Anybody see that story? All right, a couple of you did. I looked it up today. It was everywhere. It was all over the nation. Hospital morgue is full. So they called the funeral home so they could use their morgue so they didn't have to bring in a temporary morgue. So I asked the question, how many bodies does a morgue at the Hazard Hospital hold? I suppose it holds 20, 25. That's how many the morgue holds at the funeral home. You know what I found out? It holds 4. Now, those are 4 people. Those are real lives. I'm not making light of that. But what I'm saying is, in fact, I've emailed the reporter. I got correspondence from one reporter, and I asked a couple of questions. He said, I don't know, but I'll check on it for you. I asked the reporter that wrote the story. They haven't responded. But I talked to a person in Hazard that asked them. They said 4. Now, they were leading folks to believe that there was more than 4. Yeah. Folks, can I tell you something? I've proved that old book. Amen. And it's true from cover to cover. Amen. I can trust God. I can trust that book. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to live my life in fears that are conjured up by imaginations. I'm not making little or light of COVID. I'm not. There's a lot of folks I know that are sick. I have an aunt in the hospital that has pneumonia after COVID. I'm not making light of that at all. But what I'm saying is we're supposed to prove truth. We're Christians. It's all right to prove truth. If somebody gets mad at you for asking, what is the proof? Why do you believe that? Dear friend, you might be able to question that individual. I don't want you to believe this preacher because I said it. I want you to believe this preacher because the Bible says it. God said, hold fast to truth. I'm about out of time. There's an admonition to hold fast to sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13. I'll read it for you. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's what he's saying. God had given the deposit of spiritual truth to Paul. Paul had given that to Timothy. It was now Timothy's responsibility to hold fast the truth that he was given. I'm talking about as a person would guard a bank deposit, we are to guard the truth. You ever have something in your car that's valuable? And because it's in your car, you say to the family, make sure you lock the doors. Or you say to your husband, make sure you lock the doors. Or you lock it yourself because you want to make sure it gets locked. Because there's a valuable there. And you want to make sure things that are valuable, you have them in a safe place at home. Or you have them in a safe place at the bank. God said to Paul, hold fast. Paul said to Timothy, hold fast sound words. I say to the generation of preachers that are here tonight and those that are listening to me, don't you water down the gospel. It's not your right to water down the gospel. It's your right to hold fast the gospel. Just like it is a deposit of money of great value, and you deliver that gospel truth, you deliver that sound truth, those words to this generation that needs to hear how to be born again. I give you the last one and I'm finished. Twice in the book of Hebrews we're told to hold fast to our profession of faith in Christ. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Now here's the context. There are Hebrews who have now confessed faith in Christ and have walked away from the law that required continual sacrifice of animals. That sacrifice was pictures. They were examples. They were types of Christ to come. Christ has come. Christ has died on the cross. He has risen from the grave. Their faith is in Christ who has fulfilled the law. Now, wait a minute. Here's the context. The priests were still operating the temple. They did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. They were still making animal sacrifices. And he is saying in this transition time in history, in this book of Hebrews, he said, you hold fast to your profession. There are some who say, boy, you can believe that if you want. I don't know about you, but I'm going to offer a sheep today, a lamb today. I'm going to offer, I don't have much, I'm going to offer turtle doves today. I'm going to the temple. And this fellow said, my faith is in Christ. I believe Christ is a fulfillment of the law. I believe everything the prophets have said. I believe that. And so they had pressure on them. In fact, some of them, the families preached their funerals. They considered them dead because they believed in Christ. They were the opposite. They had become alive in Christ. They weren't dead at all. The ones that were dead were those that had faith and obedience to the law. But those were types and figures of Christ who had come and had died on the cross and had risen from the grave. He said, folks, hold fast. Hold on to your profession. And I want to say to you tonight, as we live in this world that wants to add something to their salvation, and they want to add something that would give them pride in their salvation, I want to say to you tonight, hold fast to your profession of faith in Christ. I believe Christ and Christ alone can save. Hold fast. I don't mean just put it in your pocket. I mean hold fast. I mean, you got some money in your billfold, button that back pocket when you put it in your back pocket. I'm talking about when you put that money in your purse, don't just put it in there, click it shut. Go ahead and put one in the chamber in case somebody tries to get in your purse. Some of you, I finally spoke your language after 35 minutes. Now, boy, said he talk about putting one in the chamber. I know what he's talking about, huh? Hold fast. You know why? It's true. Let the scoffer scoff, let the mockers mock. My faith is found a resting place. I will hold fast to the truth of God's word. Stand with me tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of God's word. I'm thankful that we can have confidence in your book and the truths that are in it. This world would try to pry away with shame. They would try to pry away with pressure. They would try to pry away with compromise. What we've been given is truth. Lord, help us to hold fast the things that we've received from you. Bless our invitation tonight. I pray that we would decide, I'll hold fast these things. In Jesus' name, amen. As he sings on the invitation song, perhaps tonight you need to decide, I'm going to hold on to the truth of God's word. I'll keep my faith where it belongs. I'll not change in my belief of standards. I'll not change. I'm not trying to look, behave, act, impress, or be accepted by the world. I'm glad to be a child of the King. If that would make you mock away, but I'm proud, I'm thankful to be a child of the King. I will hold fast. I will hold fast to sound words, to right doctrine, to my profession of faith, to what's been delivered to me. I'll hold fast. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Thank God for the truth. Folks, peer pressure is real. You better hold fast to the truth. Hold fast. The shame, the reproach of the world puts a lot of pressure on us to compromise. By the way, you can stand and not be unkind. Don't be ashamed to stand for the truth of God's word. Let me give you some names of folks that are becoming members of our church. Andrea Renison and...